division and focusing on things of lesser importance has been going on since the church was started, because people are passionate about what they're passionate about. They then drift into differences and differences into focusing on lesser things and ultimately sin. And what instead of division then should we be focusing on? I hope tonight in the time that we have together, we would come to understand a bit more of how God works instead of who does the work and any divisions that might result. So if you have your Bibles, head over to 1 Corinthians and we'll parachute in here for a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There were handouts around if you grabbed one on the way in. We've got some context to fill in here from 1 Corinthians. Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, one of the most jacked up churches in the New Testament. Rampant sexual immorality, abuses of the Lord's table, lawsuits against one another, infatuation with secondary things, to name a few. Paul planted the church and then continued his missionary journeys, leaving behind a morally shaky church in a leadership vacuum. Leaders that seem to be more focused maybe on self-promotion than the gospel, as illustrated by some of the numerous problems that we see in the church. Paul writes to them to straighten them out. In the passage that I'm taking us to this evening, he wants to refocus their mindsets from division back to the most important thing, the foundation of the work itself. So join me in 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to read the first five verses to give us a little running start. "But I then, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not merely being human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each." One of the leaders at the church in Corinth, a fellow named Apollos, Apollos had quite a following. I mean, that's fine, and Paul corrects them that it's not about who you follow, because after all, leaders are nothing more than, as he says, servants through whom you believed. I know you guys know this already, but I'm going to just point this out and say it. I am nothing special, okay? Some days that's overwhelmingly clear, right? I am nothing special. Paul says it is not the messengers, it is the message. Pastors, elders, teachers, we are nothing special. I like how Stuart Swisegood, when he was preaching here when I was away, said, "I have nothing to offer you except the word of God." Love that. We are at best a vehicle to communicate the word of God to you, as Paul tells us, so that you might understand and see, and you might believe through whom you believed. So here's the deal. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. It's not about the messenger. Paul says, stop focusing on the messenger. It's about the message. It's about the gospel. It is about the foundation. The messenger is not special. The message is special. Haiti team, how many times were we in an awkward situation leading up to the Haiti trip where we were telling people, or when we got back and we were telling people, and the people said, "You're so good for doing that. That was so good. You're such a good person. I can't believe you did that." And then you're filled with this kind of awkward sensation where it's like, okay, what could I do? I could take this credit and be like, yeah, I actually am pretty good. Thanks for pointing that out. It was really hard, but I persevered. No, most of the time we either felt awkward for a minute and then said, it's not us. I didn't go for me. I didn't go for my glory. And I didn't even go in the strength of myself. I went for the glory of God. And it gives us an opportunity to say it wasn't us. It wasn't the messenger. It was the message. A few years back at a meeting with other pastors, I was given the floor to talk about our ACBC conference, which we were all very excited about. We had some big speakers coming in to train us. We had Stuart Scott. We had Heath Lambert. We had some big dogs coming in. And so I used that expression in the midst of that meeting. And I said, guys, you've got to get your churches on board with this. We got some big dogs coming in and they're going to teach us. And the leader of the meeting held up his hand and said, Mike. And I was still going. I was like, what? Because there are no big dogs. And I was like, oh. Embarrassed. Completely embarrassed. Just like, and he was totally right. There are no big dogs. It's not, I was puffing these guys up so much. And it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. And we all have special connections to those who have served us well, and that's fine. But let's remember the message trumps the messenger. Why? Because it's actually not who does the work, it's more about who is behind the work. And that's where Paul goes next, talking about God himself. Look at verse 6. He lays it out. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Paul breaks it down why it's not about the messenger. He shows them their roles in all of this. And look at these three things with us briefly. Planting, watering, and growth. First, planting, meaning to plant, to place a seed or a seedling into the dirt in hopes that something will grow from it, right? It's not a full-grown healthy plant or a tree. It's nothing but a seed. It's nothing but a start. In this case, it's an analogy to planting seeds of the gospel. We plant gospel seeds, and we naturally, see how that happened here tonight while we were sharing, we naturally plant these seeds of the gospel, and we hope that they will grow into faith. How? How do we plant seeds? Intentional interaction. Most of the time, this means talking to someone. I know, we're all from New Jersey. And you want us to talk to people. We just don't do that around here. We're not talking to people. We're not talking to people online or anything like that. When we're at the grocery store, we're not talking to the guy that comes to fix our plumbing. We're just like, do your thing and I'll do my thing. We're from Jersey. We have to get past that, people. We have to plant seeds. We have to intentionally interact with people. The gospel needs to be a message that is relayed by a messenger, and that's us. And as Christians, we have a little bit of a secret mission. We're trying to figure out and determine someone's spiritual state. We're trying to see where they are with the Lord. We're trying to see if we have an opportunity. We're trying to make a connection, ultimately to get to a place where we can plant gospel seeds. Haiti team, this is it. All my illustrations tonight are just like made. This is really cool when you have this kind of night because we can just keep picking from the Haiti team the whole night, right? You undoubtedly felt as you stepped off that van and into the square and then were surrounded by 1,000 little kids, a little bit of, what am I going to do? I pick them up. I know what to do. They're crawling on me. They're wiping sweat off of my brow. They're talking to me in a language I don't understand. And you have to push past that. And we did, because we were forced to. We were in that environment. That's why we went. We pushed into intentional interaction with people past the awkwardness. And how about our seed planting in Vernon, or where God has sovereignly placed you, because it's not a mistake. The barista at the Bean or Starbucks, the repair guy that comes to your house, friends at a party, this is where we're called to plant seeds. And yeah, sometimes God taps people on the shoulder and says, guess what? You're going to Haiti. And we plant seeds there too. And we've messed ourselves up in evangelism about this, making it more about closing the deal. This monologue that we have to get through of the four spiritual laws or something like that, where we have to get through this whole thing and then close the deal. Folks, the chances of you going for a whole gospel presentation to a complete stranger, complete with PowerPoint from the whole story of the Bible and asking them for faith is probably slim to none, and slim just left town. It's just not, you'll get that later. It's just not going to happen most of the time. Most of the time it will, and praise God. Should we stop doing that? No, we should definitely do that. But most of the time, what are we doing? Planting seeds, planting seeds, planting seeds, being faithful to plant seeds. And then what happens after we plant seeds? Well, that's where the next part comes in. That's where watering comes in. Watering to add water to something to then cause it to grow. Plants need water or they die. Like in our house, otherwise known as the place where plants go to die. Why? Because we don't water them. Sorry, honey, it's not really your fault. It's my fault as well. We just don't water them. I'll be on the deck and I'll just be looking. Oh, wow, I haven't watered that in like a week. I guess it died. If plants don't have water, they will die. If the seed that we plant with the gospel is not watered, it's going to happen. It's not going to bear fruit. Watering in this case means to spiritually nourish someone. And how do we do this? I think there's no better spiritual water than this, the Word of God. The goal here is faith, right? Servants through whom you believed. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We water with the word of God. Scripture also tells us this clearly in places like Isaiah 55. We can look at Isaiah 55, 9 through 11 really quick. It says this, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Watch this. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be," my word, "so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that for which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Right there, we see Isaiah the prophet telling us about what it means to water with the word of God. So we plant, but we also water. And God's word is the real agent in that. But let's not fall off the road to the ditch on the other side either. I mean, we're involved deeply and personally. It's not just that, you know, we can't just like teleport the word into them. You know, we have to speak to people. We have to make a connection to people. In Haiti, again, this was sort of easy, especially with the kids. It's like you had an instant bond with the kids, instantly. And there are bonds that are personal bonds, that are bonds of love, that are bonds of affection, that transcend words, that transcend language. That we had this connection with the children. And folks, we have to have that as we water, as we plant, and as we water the earth, the word. Haiti was a special opportunity, and that's what we were there to do. But folks, we are all called to plant and we are all called to water every day. Where God has placed us, the sovereign God. And I can't stress that enough. God is sovereign. He has put you where you live. He's put you where you work. He's put you with your crazy family. He's put you with all of that so that you can plant and you can water and you can bring him glory where you are in your circle of influence. Are we keeping our relationships intentional, bringing them to spiritual topics, offering to pray for others, speaking the word of God to them, flat out showing undeserved kindness for no other reason just to be kind to someone? Church, are we watering? Look one more time at what the word of God is telling us. Isaiah telling us then, who gives the growth? The word of who? It's the word of God. Paul saying that we are only planting and watering and there's someone else over the results. Someone else who entirely gives the growth. And look at the last part of verse 6 and 7 back in our passage here. It says, I planted, Apollos watered, but who? God gave the growth. Verse 7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He says it twice. God gives the growth. It's not about the messenger, it's about the message. And that is intentionally designed so that God is supreme in all of this. And he goes on to explain that in the last part of our passage here. Look at verse 8. He goes on, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Paul creates two categories here. He creates one category, that's the planters and the waterers. And then he creates another category, it's God. The planters and the waters are over here, and he says, guess what, guys, you're messengers, you're not much. But over here, God. Again, it's not that we are just working and not getting recognized and not thinking that what we're doing is going to cause blessing. Because look at the second part of verse 8. And each one will receive his wages according to his labor. This is where we get into that thing of our faith where it's blessing actually follows obedience. It's a funny thing. If we actually do what God tells us to do, blessing usually results. We don't obey for blessing, right? But generally, if you do what God tells you to do, things will go better than if you don't do what God tells us to do. Blessing follows obedience. Obedience to God comes with a certain level of blessing from God. We don't merely obey for blessing, but rather we obey out of faithful worship and trust that we are agreeing, yes, God, you told me to do this, and I think that you're right. I think that you are trustworthy and that this is the best thing for me, so that's why I'm going to do it, because I believe it. Haiti team, this was a hard trip, right? This was a dirty, hot, smelly, exhausting. Some of you broke bones for crying out loud. But were you blessed? Were you blessed as we did this? You heard it as we were sharing. It's the overwhelming blessing of serving God. It's the overwhelming blessing of putting yourself out there, out of your comfort zone, because you know God has called you to do it, and you know it's what God wants you to do, and then therefore you're blessed from it. It's not wrong to seek the blessing from obedience to God. It's really not. That's Piper's whole gig when he talks about that. In church, generally, ever follow what God tells you to do, even when you don't feel like it, we receive blessings. When you'd rather give in to selfishness or doubt, and you say, you know what? No, I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. We receive the blessing. Many times this happens in planting and watering. Anybody been in that situation where you have that opportunity to plant a seed, to water a seed, or to just flat out tell the gospel to somebody, and your throat goes dry and your stomach knots up and you're like, this is my moment. I'm going to do this. And you do it and you're scared to death and you probably stumble through it and you probably blow it a couple of times, but you persevere. And then what do you feel after that? You feel amazing because you did what God called you to do. And you left the results up to God. God blesses us. Joy, peace, because you did what God told you to do. And guys, we remember that it is all God's work from beginning to end. And we look at our last verse. Look at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are in God's field and you're in God's building. I think he's trying to make a point. It's all about God. Like Romans reminds us, for from him and through him and to him are all things. So to him be the glory forever. It's about God. And so putting this all together tonight, I think we can say this. We labor and are rewarded, but God does the work and God gets the glory. We labor and we're rewarded for it, but God does the work and God gets the glory. And then here's the thing. It all comes full circle. Right? God is the one sovereign over all things. We step out in faith and obedience and we are blessed. And then who gets the glory? God. Because then what are you? You're a happy Christian. You're a Christian who stepped out in faith, who then God blessed because you stepped out in faith. So you have joy and you have peace and your faith is built up in God, who tells you what to do and you do it and you know that he's trustworthy and you do it. And God oozes out of you in blessing and joy. And people see that. And people know that you're a Christian. And then it grows and it oozes and it magnifies God. And it's all one big circle. So God continues to get the glory. It's again our friend John Piper, what he says. God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. I think there's a lot of truth to that. God's most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. Why? Because if you're fully satisfied in God, what don't you need to be satisfied? Sin. So I don't need that. I've got my God. I know that what he says in this word is for my good. And whether I want to believe it or not, whether I want to get on a plane to Haiti or not, whether I want to talk to my neighbor about Jesus, whether I want to pray with my family member or not, God tells me to, and I know it's scary, but I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to do it because God's going to get the glory from it. And I don't have to give in to the sin of despair. I don't have to give in to the sin of doubt and worry and anxiety. And God is glorified when we experience the blessing, the joy, the overflowing of his spirit. And then what? More faith. We follow him more. We grow, we change, we mature. God is glorified by our lives. We live productive, fruitful lives where we go to Haiti, where we go to work, where we talk to our neighbors, where we seek out new friends and new connections to plant and to water. Knowing that it's not us, the messenger, knowing that it's the message. Knowing that as we do what God has called us to do, God's fellow workers in God's field, in God's building, in God's church, we are rewarded with our wages, right? The blessing of a life lived for God's glory. And then seeing the fruit that exponentially comes from that. We labor and are rewarded, but God does the work and God gets the glory. And just to think about this for a second, practically, doesn't that lift the weight off of our shoulders? Because so many times we go into this thinking, it's up, whether we want to admit it or not, we think it's up to us. I've got to do this. I've got to save this person. And if I'm not thinking that, maybe I'm just worrying about it. Maybe I'm just despairing about it. And when we're worrying and despairing about something, what does that mean? We're thinking we can control it. But we can't. Can we just like maybe take that burden off of us? Can we be faithful to do what God has called us to do in planting and watering and let God give the growth? Doesn't that change our perspective? Doesn't that give us that opportunity? Yeah, I'm going to share. I'm going to plant this seed. I'm going to water this seed. I'm going to pray for this person right here and right now. I know it's weird, but I'm going to do it. And God will give the growth. It's not up to me. It's up to God. And as we left Haiti, and as we left behind all of that, and we planted seeds, and we have this nervousness of, are they going to grow? Is Manu going to come to know God? Are the little kids that we see every couple of years, are they going to turn their lives over to God? Are they going to escape focusing on all of their physical needs and focus on the one that is overall? We have to entrust it to Him because we have done our work. We have planted and we have watered, and God gives the growth. And we labor and we are rewarded, but God does the work and God gets the glory. Let's pray that we can do that. Let's pray that we can be strengthened in our work. Let's pray that God, this is a good one, that God will give us opportunities to do that. And then we'd recognize them and then have the courage to follow them. And God would give the growth. Father God, we thank you for your goodness, your grace. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to go to Haiti. God, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us each and every day. Lord, would you please open our eyes to the opportunities all around us in the situations and the lives that you have sovereignly placed us in, God. Father, would you release us from the pressure of thinking that it's all up to us and just free us to obey you, to plant, to water. And Lord, we ask you, would you give the growth? Not just in Highlands and Green Pond, Lord, but in our families, in our neighborhoods, Lord, that your kingdom would be expanded, that people would come to believe, that we would all be servants through whom people have believed in the gospel. Lord, consecrate us for this work. Give us strength to do this work, encourage where we need it. And we pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.